Tim Fleming in the morning on AM 1300 KGLO.
Your hometown news station is AM 1300 KGLO. Good morning, I'm Tim Fleming. And I mentioned earlier that it was kind of a blast from the past for me a little bit to have some contact with somebody I have not talked to or seen since 1978, I guess it would have been. And so we have David Osmo on our KGLO live line with us this morning. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm in Omaha today, so, and getting ready to head over to Des Moines later today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, a little background. I came to KGLO in 1977. We were talking a little bit before we went on the air. Yeah, you were there. You were working at KGLO at the old building downtown, and you were telling me, what, 76 through 78?
Yeah,
What was your job?
I started. In fact, I was hired by Bart Curran, who was like one of my heroes growing up. I used to run home after school to watch Bart's Clubhouse, and a friend of mine was Brad Curran, and he got me connected up with Bart. And I told Bart that I wanted to get into broadcasting, and much to my surprise, Bart said, we have a part-time opening. Would you like to apply? So I applied, and he hired me, and it was the job of a lifetime. But I started doing both radio and TV because at the time, KGLO radio and TV was all combined in the old radio chapel over there in Pennsylvania. And I did a little bit of radio, and then I went over and operated camera and did character generator and some production over on the television side.
Yeah. Oh, my. Those are the good old days. I can remember that same thing when I came in 77. It was in that same building with, at the time, the radio and TV had split, but we were still operating in the same building together as competing businesses, which made it kind of interesting for a year.
Yes. Yeah, definitely a mix of culture.
So tell everybody what you've been doing since 1978 then, David.
Well, let's see. I worked at WOI in Ames for a while, went to Iowa State, and then I went to Brown Institute up in Minneapolis. And after Brown Institute, I moved to Burlington, Iowa, worked for KCPS Radio down there. And after a couple of years in Burlington, I moved to Tulsa, where my brother Ken, who I think you may have met because he was working at KGLO or KGLO TV, KIMT at the time. And my brother Ken was living in Tulsa, so I moved down to Tulsa, and I've been working in television ever since, mostly on the technical side. And I'm now living in San Antonio, Texas, working for the Sinclair Broadcast Group. I'm a regional engineering director, and I oversee television stations all across the country. And some of the stations I oversee are in Iowa. I oversee the Fox station in Des Moines, the Fox station in Omaha, and the CBS and Fox station in Sioux City.
Oh, wow. Congratulations to you on a wonderful career. That's terrific. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, it's been a great run.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, it's got to be fun for you. You're coming back to the state of Iowa. Tell us what you've got going on.
Well, this weekend, I am going to be doing a presentation at the Iowa State Fair called Iowa and the History of Broadcasting. A lot of people are unaware that Iowa has a rich tapestry of broadcast history, and I grew to appreciate it so much when I was working at KGLO and listening to Bob Brown and Al Hines and Bart Curran and Bob Clawson tell their stories of what it was like back in the early days of broadcasting. And since then, I've collected books, talked to the old timers, and I have over 700 books on broadcast history going all the way back to the 1920s. And as I've been perusing these books, I keep finding references to things happening in Iowa. And what I wanted to do is share some of the information that I came across at the Iowa State Fair.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. That's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, and like one of the interesting stories, do you know the story of how KGLO became a CBS station?
Well, I know a little bit about it, but tell me the story. Go for it.
Okay. The story was that at the time, back in 1937, KGLO was only a 100-watt station. It was a small station, and they became affiliated with CBS. It was the smallest station to become affiliated with CBS at the time. And at the time, Lee Loomis, who was working for Lee Enterprises, the owner of the Globe Gazette and the radio station, kept pursuing CBS to bring in additional programming to the station. And they kept pursuing CBS, and CBS was initially giving them the cold shoulder. And then one day, one of the CBS executives sent a telegram to Lee Loomis saying, "Can you meet me in New York?" Lee Loomis replied back, but the telegram wasn't delivered until Saturday. This CBS executive was calling into the office from a drugstore at a payphone and wanted to see if he had any messages. And while the operator was looking up the messages, this CBS executive reached down, picked up a packet of paper matches, and lit his cigarette. And when he folded over the matches, he noticed that the matchbook was from the Green Mill Restaurant in Mason City. When the operator came back to read the telegram, the first thing she said, "This telegram comes from Mason City, Iowa." The CBS executive said, "Wow, what a coincidence." And he said, "I think that's an omen." And when he agreed to meet Lee Loomis, and shortly thereafter, KGLO became a CBS station. Isn't that cool?
Oh, my. That's one of those unbelievable kind of stories, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of really cool stories. Take a wild guess when the first television demonstration took place at the Iowa State Fair.
Oh.
Just a wild guess.
Well, okay. 1947. I don't know.
Actually, that's very close. There was a demonstration of television at the Iowa State Fair in 1946, which is 4 years before the first television station in the Des Moines area. But the actual first demonstration was conducted by the University of Iowa, or at the time, the University of Iowa. It was in 1931.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? And, you know, the radio industry was still in diapers at that point, and television was being demonstrated.
That takes you back. Oh, my goodness. That takes you back a long, long ways, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so when you hear about some of this history, and actually that was even before television was demonstrated for the first time at the World's Fair. So Iowa was ahead of the World's Fair. Isn't that cool?
Well, yeah, we've always said Iowa was way ahead of everybody else anyway, right, David?
That's absolutely true, and here's proof.
You were telling me about an interesting story too out of Burlington, and I know you said you worked in Burlington for a while.
Yeah, another really cool thing about Iowa are some of the other companies that have propped up to a really enhanced broadcast. And one of those was a company, or actually it started with a guy named John Weingard, who was living in Burlington, which is on the southeast corner of Iowa, right on the Mississippi. And it's about 200 miles from there to Chicago. John Weingard wanted to watch television stations coming from Chicago, but he couldn't find an antenna that was adequate. So he decided to make his own. And he made an antenna. It worked really well. His neighbor saw it and said, "Well, we'd like to get an antenna like that too." So he started making antennas. And he ultimately founded a company called Weingard Antenna. And Weingard is still making antennas. And even better, it's still based in Burlington.
It's an interesting story. That is... You know, I was telling you a little bit in writing back and forth too, and I'm a little familiar with the Weingard company because there's a young guy that tracked along with John Weingard, and he became known in the company as Deuce. They called him the Deuce because it was he was number two at the company, and his name was Robert Fleming. And,
wow.
Yeah. And so, I don't know if when you were working down in Burlington, do you remember a Casey Fleming by chance? Did you work with Casey at all?
No, I didn't cross paths.
Casey got into radio for a while too, and the different, but all the Flemings are all related in one way, shape, form or another down in Burlington. But I always thought, that was kind of interesting, when you mentioned Weingard and, and I spent many a time in the summers vacationing down in the Burlington area, just visiting with relatives and so on. So, it's fun when you think about companies like that in a town like Burlington creating something like the antenna that Weingard did.
Yeah. Well, and there's another interesting company that a lot of people aren't aware of. In Cedar Rapids, there was a company called Turner Microphones. Have you ever heard of this? They made microphones. In fact, their microphones are oftentimes, if you see pictures of Roosevelt, there's these little round microphones that look like tuna cans on a yoke. You know, they're just kind of sitting there. They were made by the Turner Company out of Cedar Rapids. And the interesting thing is that the Turner Company, originally, they were making embalming equipment and supporting funeral homes. And they wanted to get a better public address system so that people could hear the funeral service better. And they designed and built their own microphones and PA system. And ultimately, the microphone company became the thing that really took over. And up until the mid-50s, the largest microphone manufacturer in the United States at the time was Turner Microphones.
Oh my goodness! You know, there's another story that again a lot of us wouldn't know or realize. You're a wealth of knowledge, David Osmo. I didn't know that.
Oh, I love reading books, especially old books. It's if it's an old vintage book. Whenever I travel, I always peruse through different bookstores. In fact, I was in a bookstore in Omaha. They have a wonderful used bookstore in downtown, and I found a bound copy of TV Guides from 1950. And one of the things I'm going to show is a picture from this TV guide, because they were talking about an afternoon movie host at WOW TV, an afternoon movie host called John Carson, who later became a little bit bigger in the television business.
that's another good. Yeah, Johnny Carson. Oh my. So yep. When
Born
is
in
your
Iowa.
When will you be at the fair again? What's the timing on that?
It's going to be this Sunday at noon at the Susan Knapp Amphitheater at the State Fair of Iowa.
At noon. Okay.
At noon. High noon. And we have a big screen monitor that people from probably in Iowa Falls will be able to see the presentation. It's big. But I'm going to be showing some pictures. Some of these pictures haven't been seen in literally years. We have some pictures of WMT radio that my brother, who works for Rockwell Collins, found in the trash. And he scanned those and sent them to me. And these are photos of WMT, KCRG radio, that probably haven't been seen since then. So since they were new. I have some really, really cool photos to show and share. And lots of interesting stories.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, too. I'd love to see some of those myself. And, there are a lot of ties even with KJLO back to WMT. The guys in 1978 or 77 that bought KJLO radio, Jerry Breddy and Frank Yonda, and Lou Van Nostrand, they came from WMT in Cedar Rapids. So they're very, very familiar with. That's why we call this Radio Park. Down there in Cedar Rapids, it was Broadcast Park.
Yeah, yeah, a beautiful setting down there in Cedar Rapids. It's a beautiful place for WMT and
yeah, it was good.
In fact, one of my prized wedding gifts, I got an autographed picture of Leo Greco from who was a performer on WMT.
Oh yeah, the Leo Greco band. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, lots of really cool Iowa stuff. But yeah, I collect Iowa stuff in particular. Broadcast history is my passion. And I'd love to share it with some of the findings that I came up with here at the State Fair.
Well, David, now you have family back in the area here too, don't you? Still in Mason City?
I do. My parents live in Mason City over by the high school. I've married my high school sweetheart, and her mother lives just a couple of blocks due west of Radio Park there. I have a brother who lives in Cedar Rapids, a sister who's going to be moving to Waterloo, and I'm related to about half of Des Moines. They're my cousins down there, and also a bunch of relatives up in Worth County. So, yeah, lots of relatives up there still.
Well, I'm gonna
and I get that.
I'm telling you, when you come back home to visit, you must stop in at KGLO and say hello, will you please, and take a look around. I'd love to have you.
I will do that, and I'll bring some pictures.
You know, one other thing I was going to ask you while I have you online, have you had a chance to see the KGLO studio at the Kinney Pioneer Museum?
I have, and I actually remember using that equipment. That was in the production studio at the old Radio Chapel. I saw Bill Ellsbury and Armin Kohler and L. Hines and Bob Brown were involved in getting that together. Very, very cool.
Yeah, it's quite a setup. It really is quite a setup with all the old pictures and there's some boards and some things that we took out of the old transmitter building that was out on the highway on the west side of town, and it's really neat and they add a little bit to it all the time. So that's I figured that would be something that you'd certainly get a kick out of.
Oh, you know, I went there and I have so many photographs of that. That is, you know, to me, that is just sacred ground, seeing that. That is, that's incredible stuff. Yeah, KGLO has such a rich history. Oh, did you see that? Did you get that picture that I emailed to you?
I did.
Of that. Now, that was, it's some kind of band, and I would heard it was from Nora Springs. And they were performing at KGLO's second studios, which were on 2nd Street, the old McNider building on 2nd Street. I have no idea who those people are.
If you
can paste it up.
Yeah, I put it up on my Facebook page to see if anybody could help me with it, and I didn't get any reaction to it. The one guy with the glasses, I'm thinking, is that a very young Al Hines?
Maybe it is.
Take a look at it again. I think so. But
wow.
That's the only thing I could get out of that picture was, oh my, is that a very, very young Al Hines when he was first getting started at KGLO?
Wow.
Yeah.
Could very well be.
Now take a look at it again. Wow. You're going to think, oh, you might be right. David, it's been a pleasure to talk to you this morning. I could probably talk for hours and visit, and I sure hope we get a chance to shake hands and say hello. If I can change some plans and maybe sneak down to the State Fair, I will do that. Otherwise, I'll look forward to a visit. The next time you're coming to town, give me a holler. We'll get together and we'll tell some stories, good old radio stories from back in the day.
That would be great. I look forward to that.
Dave Osmo.
Thanks, Tim.
Good to have you on board with us this morning. Thanks again.
Thank you. All righty.
David Osmo with us this morning on AM 1300 KGLO. How about that for a throwback Thursday, huh?